Thank you. I'm glad still some audience left for the last talk of today. And the title is somehow different to the talks before. Forgetting outline of my talk, we can just read this title backwards. I will start to give a very short introduction what blind source separation is. What's the problem in the convolutive case, mainly the permutation ambiguity, and how I'm solving and using a sparsity-based criterion. So the usual case for blind source separation is when we have a cocktail party problem. We have some sources. At this point, I say we have speech sources, people talking, and we would like to get the single components of it. But all what we get is some recordings which are just mixtures of these single components. And in this case that I'm looking here, we have the special problem of the mixture being convolutive one, as we have the sound of speech, we have the reflections, and so on and so on. So the problem becomes more complicated. The mathematical formulation for this, we have some sources, some mixing matrix, at least for the instantaneous case. We get some measurements, and what we want to do is to estimate a matrix, a separating matrix, so we get again the original signals. For this, we are doing the ICA, so nothing new at this point. What we have to take into account, we never know the order of the sources, and we never know which energy the sources have. In my work, I use the standard procedure of the natural gradient, as I think everybody knows. For speech signals, we need, as always, we need some probability dispersion functions for speech, which I'm considering here. We can safely assume we have here the Laplacian distribution. So, as I already said, we have not the simple case, we have the convolutive mixture. We have, in this case, the delays, different delays, we have the reflections, and so on. So we model this using convolution. And for real situations, we have some longer filters, 2,000, 4,000 taps, or whatever. Estimating these filters directly in time domain is hard, possible, but very hard. So the usual way is to go to the time frequency domain using the short-term Fourier transform. And now what we have is just, again, a multiplication in each frequency bin. So we can just use the update we already shown in each frequency bin independently, which is, again, not a problem. But now we have the problem of the different permutations and scalings. In the previous example, we couldn't do anything about it. In this case, we have to correct it. The scaling, there are some standard procedures to solve it. The typical case is the minimal distortion principle, which we multiplied the unmixed matrix by inverse with the only diagonal elements. With this method, we accept any scaling done by the mixing system. We do not know which was, but at least we do not add new distortion at this point. Some newer methods presented in last time are filter shortening, filter shaping. But for this method, you need to solve the permutation problem first. While at this, is, you can solve it in each frequency bin independently. So, we were talking about the permutation problem. What is this? How can we describe it? In this case, we have two short-term, two spectrograms, or short-term Fourier transforms of two signals, where just when you exactly look, these parts are swapped between these two spectrograms. When you restore these signals back to the time domain, of course, both signals appear in both channels. So again, you didn't separate them. So you have to correct for these permutations, and these can be in every frequency band different, and usually becomes quite complicated. Usually there are two main approaches. A lot of papers in this conference concentrate on directivity patterns and directions of arrivals. The idea is when we have the unmixing matrices, we can just calculate the directions which the sound come from and assume that one direction is one source. This works good as long as we have low reverberation. With higher reverberation, you can't pinpoint a single source to a single direction in all frequencies together. In this case here, I use the statistics of the separated signals. One trivial, simple case is you just look at such a line and the neighboring line, and you say, hey, they have to look the same. So they are highly correlated. Yeah, this is true. This is at least for when you are looking at very neighboring bins. So we have here two directly neighboring bins in blue and green. And yeah, okay, they are highly correlated. If you just go a few bins away, yeah, I wouldn't say these bins are correlated. So the correlation method is not that robust, but there have been extensions to make it a lot more robust. Okay, so at least the correlation coefficients take the envelopes, calculate the correlation, and decide the permutation depending on all four possible permutations. Take, and then on, using this error, you can just decide this way or this way. As I already said, this isn't very robust. You have to make it because of the when comparing more distant bins, you just get wrong elements. So and a few years ago, there have been proposed this dyadic sorting scheme, as proposed here, where you don't compare single bins, but whole blocks of bins. So the idea is like this. You compare, at the first stage, you compare one bin with another, 0 and 1. And calculate the correlation, calculate it, and again you get your permutation. And take the next two bins, and so on and so on. So in this case, you have neighboring bins, and you can assume, okay, the assumption of highly correlated bins is met. In the next step, you take these two correctly calculated bins, take the next two, and calculate now these four correlations. So actually, what we get, we have here four coefficients, and we have to decide which one to take to decide which permutation do we take. The biggest one, the mean, the lowest one, or whatever. With four, perhaps not a problem. Here we got already 16, and the next layer we get 64, and so on. So it becomes even harder. A simple example for this, when we just plot for a typical situation with 4,000 frequency bins, the coefficients error. For all frequency bands, so at the first stage, you would just take the correlation, the coefficients directly on the first off diagonal elements. Okay, when you look at this, it looks like this could work, but at this point, like here and here, hardly. So when you're going next steps and next steps, so let's say you compare the block. Yeah, what is this? 500 to 800 to the block 800 to 1,300 or whatever. You compare all the coefficients which are in this square. So we have a lot of coefficients which are correctly and a lot of coefficients which are not correctly, and so on. In this case here, okay, this will work. Here, perhaps not. But in the next steps, you compare these coefficients. Okay, this may still work. This may also still work. But in this case here, you have a lot of wrong permutations, which a lot of indicators of wrong permutations, which in reality aren't wrong permutations. So usually the dyadic sorting scheme is better, but still fails with certain signals. Now I want to present a new approach. The first observation you can make is when you just take speech signals are sparse. And a mixture of two signals, which are independent, is less sparse. And you can extend this even if the signals are bandpass signals. As long as they are independent, the mixture is less sparse. And this is exactly what we have in our permutation problem. We have two bandpass signals and want to look which permutation do we have. So the wrong permutation will be less sparse. We have here an example of this. Just two plain speech signals, nothing happened yet. And in this case, I just moved the higher parts of the signal, so the higher half of the signal to the other, so we have the permutation at the lowest level of the dyadic sorting scheme. And when we compare these, we have here a lot of zeros or almost zeros. And when you look here, we have clearly a signal which is less sparse. And this is exactly what we need to formulate the new criterion. We want the signal to be as sparse as possible. The measurement of sparsity for this is enough to take the standard method of the LP norm. In my cases, I usually take something like 0.1 for P, but it's not that important. You can vary it. The idea is now, as with the correlation coefficients, we take our signals, calculate now not the correlation between two signals, but the sparsity of a sum of two signals, and take again the four coefficients, every one against each other, and you get one coefficient which can decide which permutation is. The important thing about this is now we don't take the coefficients in the time frequency domain, but we transform this bandpass coefficients to a time domain signal where we can apply the LP norm. Using this, even if we take, let's say, 100 frequency bands from K to S, we still again become just one coefficient for the whole sorting schema. So when we now do the dyadic sorting, so we have again here frequency, just one single frequency band transformed to the time domain, here again one, we apply the LP norm and decide here, and here again. And at this point, there's a difference. Now we transform two frequency bands to the time domain and calculate again one coefficient, and so on, and so on, and so on. So at this point, we do not have the problem of which coefficients of this, let's say, thousands or whatever do you take, but you have always just one coefficient. And due to the different criterion, it's much more robust, mostly. I've done some simulations. The first set, data set is the Zavada setup. He is already gone. That's pity. So on Zavada's data set from 5 years ago or so, we have a separate, this data set somehow, it's a reverberant recordings of some speech, but the reverberation is quite low. You can, when you hear this data set, you can say, yeah, it's reverberant, but not the reverberation is quite low. In this case, the direction of Iovell approach, it's very good. It works because of the low reverberation. The proposed method, it's not as good, but almost. But when you look closely why it's performing not that good, it's because at the very low stages where we compare just one single frequency band with another, there happen some permutations which are incorrect. And so perhaps should investigate a little bit more if this assumption of sparsity in so small bandpass signals, if this is correct. And but when we're going to a data set which with recordings with higher vibration, all over we got less suppression performance. The DORA approach fails because with this setup you don't have the signal coming from one direction because of the reverberations. With the new approach, we all again get almost the performance of the non-blind algorithm because in this case we don't matter which direction the signal comes as long as we are able to separate it in every frequency band. And so it's not always matching the non-blind case, but it's more robust compared to the single to the DORA approach. So to conclude, the convolutive Bayesian separation can be solved in the time frequency domain. We have to solve the scaling and permutation, and now we presented a new algorithm based on the sparsity in the time domain, not as usual criterions are formulated in time frequency domain, and with higher vibration, we have usually better separation performance in the direction of arrival based approaches. Thank you. Here with Zavada setup, it's like 7.5 seconds. For this, I used 5 seconds. I think if there's enough signal to make ICA in each frequency band, then there will be enough signal to make the LP norm.